Hello and welcome to this edition of Talking Europe. I'm in the building of the European Commission in Brussels, and my guest today is Valdis Dombrovskis. Hello, welcome to the programme. You are the EU Commissioner for Economy, Productivity, Implementation and Simplification, and you are from Latvia. You are actually the former Prime Minister of Latvia. Thank you for being on the show and welcome.
Good afternoon.
So first, I'd like to ask you about the situation of the French debt. As you know, France's deficit is around 5.4%, and that, of course, means it is not meeting the criteria for the Stability Pact here in the EU. How do you think this is affecting the European Union?
As regards fiscal developments in France, indeed, it's important for the entire European Union, as France is the EU's second largest economy. Therefore, it's indeed important that the next government starts working immediately on 2026 budget, ensuring that it in line with a medium-term fiscal structural plan agreed by France and recently being implemented.
Now, we've seen, you know, Fitch, for example, degrading the rating of France, you know, from one notch. When you see this from your perspective, do you believe that France is tooled up to manage to weather this situation, or do you think basically it's going to become more and more difficult before it can become better?
In any case, it's clear that there is a need to bring budget deficit and debt clearly on a downwards path, and that's what also France's medium-term fiscal structural plan, which one can say it's a medium-term fiscal strategy, foresees. So it's important that it's now being followed through. So we're obviously following the process of formation of the new government, and once the new government will be in place, we'll be engaging immediately on the preparation of next year's budget. And actually, recently, I also had a conversation with Eric Lombard on exactly those issues. I know that from finance ministry side, preparations, technical preparations are well advanced, but obviously, a budget will require a number of political decisions to be taken.
When it comes to the impact of these decisions, if France were not to fulfill, you know, these guidelines, what impact would it have on the European Union? I mean, it's the second largest economy in the Union. How does it, I'd say, impact the sovereignty? You know, Emmanuel Macron's been talking a lot about, for example, the Ukrainian situation and the will to ramp up production of weapons and to take, you know, to be at the political forefront of the EU. Can France still do that, given its economic situation at the moment?
Certainly, when we discuss ramping up defense spending, this is important across the EU, because we are facing serious security challenges and threats. So, and the best way addressing them and preventing situation from escalating is to ramp up our own defense capabilities, our own defense spending. And actually, for that purpose, we have also foreseen a possibility for member states to activate a national escape clause to increase defense spending for up to 1.5% of GDP, and allowing to deviate member states from this expenditure path, which is currently agreed. So this possibility is also there and is to be taken into account, because in this way we alleviate the dilemmas member states are facing in terms of how to actually increase defense spending.
You are, as I said, the former Prime Minister of Latvia. I mean, the Baltic states are really on the front line when it comes to this war between Ukraine and Russia. And I mean, the tension with Russia is really high at the moment. We've seen, you know, aerial incursions on the edges of Europe, including over the Baltic states. First, how worried are you, and what do you think Europe needs to do in the face of what appears to be a new provocation?
Certainly, we know that Russia's imperialist expansionist ambitions extend beyond Ukraine, and Russia is openly talking about invading other countries, including EU and NATO countries. Therefore, it's highly important to ramp up those defense capabilities and defense spending, and also to protect NATO's eastern flank, where Baltic states are. And concerns in the Baltic states are obviously quite serious about this Russian rhetoric about invading other countries, about provocations which we are facing, the recent incursions in European airspace, but also we are seeing all kind of Russian actions from disinformation to acts of sabotage to weaponizing illegal migration. And so we are already at the hybrid warfare with Russia, so we also need to see how we contradict all those different actions Russia is already undertaking. And that's obviously Baltic states are small countries, and the question of European solidarity is very important. And that's why European Commission and President von der Leyen recently came up with this initiative also on the eastern flank watch to ensure that countries on the eastern flank of the EU has all necessary capacities to monitor the developments and movements from the Russian side, and also setting up this wall of drones project, providing also those states with intercepting capacities in case of such kind of incursions.
When you talk about a wall of drones, can you just explain to us what that would look like? I mean, does that mean just drones that are ready to take off to intercept anything that comes into EU airspace, for example?
Exactly. That's a basic idea to have the both capacity to detect the movements and, if necessary, also to intercept Russian drones, because unfortunately we had seen Russian drones incursions previously, maybe by one drone in different countries, but recently what we saw in Poland was already quite a massive incursion, and that clearly cannot be a mistake. It's just Russia testing the NATO responses and seeing whether it can go further in its provocations.
We saw, you know, earlier on the EU making some pretty strong statements, including, for example, wanting to spend €800 billion on defense. You are in charge of industry and the economy. Is the EU today really ramping up its capacities? Are we still, because obviously we're going to have to somehow manage to be more self-reliant in the face of the situation of the United States. Are we currently really doing that work properly in your view? Is what Europe's doing to defend itself against this potential Russian aggression on direct aggression on the EU, are we up to the task, to the challenge?
EU is certainly ramping up also defense industry, defense production, and indeed this initiative, Rearm EU Readiness 2030 initiative, is there to help member states to increase both defense spending, but also to increase defense industry and defense production. And it's something which is already happening, but it's important that we are sustaining and actually accelerating it. Because what we see on the other side, Russia has already turned its economy as a war economy. It has ramped very substantially its military production. It is ramping up also its troop numbers. So the question is where all those troops and all this military equipment will go. And to deter Russia from incursions into the EU territory, obviously it's important that we have a clear and a strong signal from our side and a clear capacity to counter this Russia threat. Because if you look at the size of EU in terms of economy, in terms of population, in terms of industrial capacity, we outperform Russia by any standards. Russia is economy size of Spain and Portugal combined. So way below the EU. So we have capacity to outperform Russia, but we need to make that capacity count. And that's where this 800 billion euros initiative you mentioned comes in.
We heard Donald Trump at the UN General Assembly talking about how he considers, for example, that the energy mix of Europe is inappropriate. Or, you know, he's also criticizing migration policy. But when it comes to energy, which is much more in your field, do you feel that there is American pressure for Europe to shift when it comes to its energy? We don't have much time, we only have 1 minute. But do you think it's going to change anything when it comes to Europe's strategies?
Actually, we are already phasing out Russian energy. We have prohibited coal imports. We moved away from Russian gas. Right now, with the 19th sanctions package, we are prohibiting also Russian LNG imports. We are phasing out Russian oil. Actually, now there are very few EU member states like Hungary and Slovakia, which are still receiving Russian oil, and it would be important to phase it out as well. And we know that President Trump has passed relevant messages also to, say, Hungarian leadership. So, and it's also part of our Repower EU strategy to actually completely phase out and move away from Russian fossil fuels.
Okay, well, thank you very much. This is all we have time for, I'm afraid.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for speaking to us. And please stay tuned to France 24.